Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. A few minutes past 5 p.m. Time for the Think Tank. We have a fresh crew today. We have Gabe Pfeiffer. Good to see you, Gabe. How are you?
Good to be here. Great. I'm doing great.
For the first time, we have Larry Kirshner, who was on the other day because he owns Darkness and Creepy World, and he was here talking about Halloween. So are you, like, off now? Like, can you just relax?
Yeah, you know, my favorite day of the whole entire year is the day we close.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I get excited because then you start thinking about all the new stuff. I'm actually more interested in, you know, like creating new stuff than I am operating them. So
yeah, that makes sense. And also the owner of many Halloween attractions, Andrew Taliban.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of taking it easy now?
Yep, I have a big pile of hay in my front yard,
right?
And everyone can come play in it.
Just full of monkeys.
Get about 3 million visitors a year.
The standards are lower in Alton.
Those are bugs, Andrew.
You just jump out from behind a tree and yell boo. All right, so let's get started. As usual, here's what I look forward to. I look forward to the day we do Think Tank. We have nothing to talk about. You're just like, I don't know. Well, what is there?
Larry, talking about video games again.
You brought up, as you sat down, I just saw this a couple hours ago, that, and correct me if I'm wrong, the attorney for the whistleblower at one point in 2017 had said the coup has started and we're going to take down Trump. Do you guys see this as the ultimate cross-examination material, or who cares? Yeah, of course, they want to take down Trump. Gabe, how's it hit you?
Kind of a little of both. It's kind of par for the course these days, but also it's, if you're going to enter into sort of a proper trial kind of situation, that's not going to play well.
Yeah, agreed.
So,
Larry, yeah. Do you see the whole thing is another witch hunt, or do you think there's more to this one?
Well, you know, we went through 2 years of the Mueller investigation, okay? And I love it when I watch Hannity and he replays over and over and over again the same, you know, it's like impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. And this is all we've heard about. You can't do anything in this country because the Democrats only care about impeachment. But yeah, it seems like a witch hunt. They need to, like, read the little fairy tale, The Boy Who Cried Wolf, because when you cry wolf so many times, like, everybody's, like, you know, immune to it. Okay. There's no way possible that even liberals believe that he did anything wrong. They just want him gone. I mean, that's the bottom line. And when you have Democrat congressmen saying, you know, we have to impeach him because we can't beat him at the ballot box. I mean, I don't think that he did anything wrong, especially when you look at what Joe Biden did. And the media doesn't talk about that. They don't talk about that. And then we got a dose of this NBC or whatever it was, CBS, of this lady saying that she had the whole entire story. And
Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein. And we also know about the other one, too, with Harvey Weinstein, was also shelved. I mean, these people will shelve those kinds of stories. But this one, I mean, they've been on it since the day he was elected.
So, Andrew, you're probably the most liberal guy I know. If someone came to you, a little wizard, and said, here's the actual truth, there really is nothing to this Ukraine thing.
Mm.
Strategically, because you can keep it to yourself, would you still want them to go forward with it because it's going to damage the president for 2020?
I don't think it does damage him, honestly. I don't think it damages him. I think the people that really support him aren't. They don't care if he's done anything wrong. They don't care if he's correct. At least not in this instance, right? Like, if he was quid pro quoing Ukraine and saying, we're going to withhold aid from you unless you investigate Biden for 2020.
And what about that?
Does that bother you?
If we had absolute proof, like, I think Mick Mulvaney pretty much admitted it when he said, grow up, this is the way things get done.
Sure.
I think that, too. People accuse me of, you know, saying that it was fine because other people had done it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying other people do it. So if everything that they're alleging was true, Gabe and Larry, if you're on the Senate, you voting?
Well, I guess, you know, by everything they're alleging a lot of stuff. But I'll put it this way. If if what we saw in the transcript was a legitimately and I'm not even going to use the term quid pro quo. If you don't do this, I'm not going to give you this. That is literally how all negotiations work. Everywhere. All the time. If you give me my sandwich, I will give you $5. You know, it's kind of, you know, every exchange that America has with any other country is contingent upon them doing something for us or about it. Now the question then becomes, is the thing that we're asking for something for Trump's benefit exclusively?
Right.
Or is it something to benefit the United States?
Because if you're paying money for a sandwich, it's fine. But if you're paying money for meth, it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's really depends.
So is this a sandwich or was this meth?
Right. And as far as I can tell, it's a sandwich. Because you know, if you see a video of Joe Biden doing what we're talking about, if you don't fire this investigator, we won't give you the $1 billion or whatever. And you know the context of the prosecutor we're talking about and the position of his son, that to me looks like something at least worthy of an investigation on some level.
Mm-hmm.
So asking the government of Ukraine to take a look at it, I don't think counts as something specifically for Trump's benefit. It might benefit him, yeah. But you could say the same thing about this impeachment trial, you know, per se. You know, the Democrats could say, well, we're looking into questionable behavior by the president, but you know darn well they would benefit from him taking a political fall here.
Andrew, what about that logic?
Yeah, I agree with it. I think it's naive to say that what Trump was doing was not for his own benefit. However, I also think that Biden needs to be investigated. I think if there was something going on there, we all need to know about it. I'm a big fan of transparency in my government.
Right.
But I think this was definitely something that he was doing for his own benefit, because why else would he care? Why else would Trump, who is, you know, admittedly, a lot of people love to talk about how Trump's not a politician. He doesn't really know anything about politics. He knows about business, yada, yada, yada. Why would he care what Biden was doing before he was the president in the Ukraine, unless it's going to directly benefit him in 2020, getting rid of one of his biggest opponents?
Or we could connect it to the entire 2016 election meddling, which was at the heart of starting the Russia investigation, which currently has an investigation going into why that got started. And it's been stated that a lot of the interference came directly out of Ukraine.
You know, when you look at Obama on a hot mic saying, hey, when I get reelected, I'll help you out. And let me just tell you something. You know what? Let me tell you how crazy liberals are. Okay, and I don't know if you're crazy, but, you know, you're smiling, so maybe you're not. But here's how crazy liberals are. I was listening to all these wacko Democrats running for president saying crazy stuff like Donald Trump's foreign policy in Syria and this and that and the other. Who got us in Syria? I'm just asking. That was the Obama administration undermining the governments of Syria, Libya. And what happened? He said that ISIS was a JV team. They took over almost all of Iraq. They got into Libya. They got into Syria. Who undermined those governments? He also undermined the government of Egypt. Okay. So the problem was created by Obama. So Trump cleans up the mess. And then he wants to pull the soldiers out of Syria so there's no more soldiers getting their arms and legs blown off. And now the Democrats are like, this is unbelievable. He's abandoning the Kurds. And the point I'm trying to make as far as impeachment is that this guy can do nothing right. Nothing. He does criminal justice reform. And we see all these incredible videos of people getting released from prison. They don't talk about that. They don't care about that. He's a racist. There's nothing this guy can do right. Nothing. And you know as well as I do that Joe Biden, okay, admitted that he got a prosecutor fired in Ukraine. And we also know that his son took thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, and it's been accused of billions in China, and he wrote on Air Force One. When you talk about like an investigation, that's like screaming for one, not like a little phone call saying, hey, can you like check into this for me?
I agree.
I mean, it's like ridiculous.
I completely agree. I just said we should investigate. Now, if you want to talk about destabilizing the Middle East, we can go back to, if you want to go in the past, we can go back to Iran-Contra with Reagan. We can go back to George One with, you know, Persian Gulf. We can go back to
where
George
did ISIS
II
come
with,
from?
With
Obama
Iraq.
Or George Bush? It's just a question.
I mean, probably more George Bush.
No, right? It was like from Obama. It was from Obama. Okay, it was Obama who called the JV team too.
And I feel like he's the guy that dropped
leaflets warning them. You know,
and I feel
that
like
we're
most Democrats now want us to stay in Syria. because that's where we have we don't want to upset the Kurds. We don't want to make anything more difficult with all the prisoners that we have that are now in the hands of Turkey.
You know what I will tell you is I have a son. He's 19. Okay. I have a son who's 17. I don't want him going to Syria and being a policeman and being shot at from every window, from every piece of rubble, and bombs being put under, you know, to blow up cars. There's no way that I want my son in Syria. Okay. And I'm glad that Donald Trump pulled all of our soldiers out. I hope he pulls them all out of everywhere in the Middle East. We protect the whole world and we don't get paid for it. Donald Trump's just pointing out something that is obvious. You know, we're talking about the haunted house industry.
We don't get paid for it. The U.S. military is not a mercenary.
No, I know that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we protect the world and we pay for it. Why should we have homelessness like on a level that's like, you look in California. We have roads in St. Louis right here that need to be rebuilt. We have crumbling bridges and all this. Donald Trump's 100% right. Why are we spending our money, taxpayer money, to defend or secure Syria? We have no interest in Syria. And it's the same thing. I can tell you, if we had that mentality in the Oval Office right now, we'd have already invaded Venezuela. You know what I'm saying? We'd already be there trying to dethrone that guy.
What do you think we should do to protect ourselves, though? I tend to agree with you, and maybe this makes me a bad person, but I don't give much of a rat's ass about people in the Middle East and what their life is like. They've been doing it for thousands of years. I think they'll do it for thousands more. You know, if I had a magic wand, I would wave it, but we don't. But I don't want another 9/11. I don't want a miniature 9/11. What do you think, if you were doing it or advising the president, how far would you go militarily? Would you just be wiping people out with drones or just do it all, you know, intelligence?
Well, I think that the day one that Trump got in office, he dropped the quote-unquote mother of all bombs, okay? And he sent a message, you know, I'll do whatever it takes. He let the military...
I forgot about that.
You mean like leaving Syria?
No, I'm talking about like he sent a message to the people, you know, that want to fight the United States that he'll do whatever it takes to get rid of you. He did get rid of ISIS. OK, we just killed Baghdadi and their number two guy, which I couldn't believe when the New York or was it the Washington Post called him a, you know,
this is how insane.
Yeah. You know, the country's gone, okay? That they can actually try to spin it so that it's a negative thing.
I think one of the things that always strikes me is kind of the historical 30,000-foot view of this whole thing. You know, there's plenty of blame to go around for America's issues with the Middle East, and it's been so since like World War I, you know, just about. And it's hard to extricate ourselves from this as deep as we've gotten into it. But I do appreciate efforts to get us out, at least on some level, have some idea of what we're doing. It's the whole Kurdish Turkey thing is kind of a sticky wicket. Kurds, some of the Kurds are our friends. Some of the Kurds are actual terrorists. Turkey is our literal NATO ally. So how do we, you know, we're standing in between two of our friends who want to fight. So it's tough. So, you know.
And don't forget, Turkey's military tried to overthrow that guy. Okay. So do we really want to get involved in all these messes all over the world? Why does the United States get involved in all of these foreign entanglements all over the place? Look, hey, what's wrong with trying to get along with the leader from North Korea? And they say, well, he's hanging out with a brutal dictator. Well, what would
he
you have him do?
He is a brutal dictator.
But what would you have him do? Invade North Korea so a million people die? I don't think so.
Quick break, right back. More of the Think Tank after this. Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have Gabe Pfeiffer. We have our very own Andrew Taliban. We have Larry Kushner, who's on a couple weeks ago talking about his Places of the Darkness and Creepy World and Limp for Halloween. So we're kind of having a more esoteric conversation. Let's continue that. Just, you know, I don't know what I am. I just don't fit anywhere. I know this is a Fox News station, but I friggin' hate Fox News. I just hate, like, the morning show. Gabe, I know you're very religious. No offense. There's religious, and then there's goody-two-shoes. There's candy ass. And I don't fit with those guys. I don't fit with Ainsley writing a book once a week about how much Jesus loves puppies, you know, and how God likes pancakes. I don't. And yet... I think what I would agree with Larry with the way that the liberals are approaching, like Elizabeth Warren, it's nonsense. It's like, I remember when I was a little kid, like 10, and I'd go with my mom and dad to like Dairy Queen, and my dad would say, okay, on the way home, you like lay in the back seat and you tell me which turns to take. And it was so exciting. Like, oh, I think we're going to take a left. I'm in charge. That's what it feels like with the Democrats. It feels like they're just laying in the back seat and going like, go right. Like, that'll get us in the lake. But I'm intrigued how people become liberal like you and conservative like you and how you don't see that. And how you don't see him. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
If it's just purely generational, you know, my 24-year-old son is probably a little bit right of you, but not much. So explain to me, Andrew, when you hear Elizabeth Warren, let's start with economics. Are you behind it? Conceptually, I don't care about $52 trillion or $32 trillion, but conceptually, are you behind the construct of the government pretty much taking over?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I've talked before on the show. I am what you might describe as at the heart a single issue voter, and that single issue is healthcare. Period. I've said before, talk to me about healthcare. Don't talk to me at all. I'll write in Larry's name for president, and I will campaign for Larry if Larry comes up with a plan that fixes healthcare.
Can I mention something to
Please.
You?
He's okay, running for president.
when Donald Trump was running in 2016. Okay, Ted Cruz, all of them called him a closet liberal because that he was from New York. He is a liberal. What he really is a negotiator. And the Democrats have this something that was handed to him like a gift from God. Because here you got a guy who just wants to get stuff done and he loves to compliment himself. Okay, he likes to get up on a podium and give out the pins. And he'll work with Democrats. He'll work with Republicans. This is a guy that actually wanted to do something about gun control. And he did. He banned bump stocks. But of course, no one, you know, talks about that. But on the campaign trail, he said that he was for healthcare for everyone. He even said that no citizen in the United States should not be allowed to get medical treatment without, you know, having to worry about how to pay for it. But see, here's the problem. You go back to this impeachment day
one.
That
he hasn't done it?
Nope, because the Democrats refused to work with this guy on any level. If Nancy, here's the thing.
Because he had Paul Ryan coming up with a healthcare scam that was an absolute scam.
That's not true. You got to go and negotiate with this guy. But here's the thing. The Democrats used to be for the party of the worker, right? And you remember all the strikes in the 80s, you know, auto workers. And what happened was these jobs just left the country in droves, right? But the Democrats are supposed to be for those unions. But see, now what Donald Trump is making the Republican Party is the party for the worker because all he talks about is the American worker and how they've been screwed by Democrats. Okay. And that's a fact because that's, you know, they have the endorsement of the UAW or whatever for Biden already. And the actual workers are like, are you crazy? We're like for Donald Trump. Okay. That's how corrupt the system is. And let me just tell you that Donald Trump is for the worker. He is for the American people.
What's he done for the workers?
He has campaigned. Jobs. He has campaigned.
Jobs.
He has campaigned. Literally, I love it when liberals.
I'm not asking what he's campaigning on. I'm asking. Okay, what he's
I'm
going to
tell
besides
you
besides tax plans
gonna,
that benefit the rich more than they benefit
okay,
the working class.
Hold on. Whoa.
He's about to go whoopee on you.
Oh yeah. All right. Never seen Gabe this mad.
No, seriously, because this is now we're talking numbers.
Mm-hmm.
That's my realm. Okay, so look, it's like 60. Was it? I'm trying to remember what the percentage is, but the. Let's just take the top 10%. Top 10% of government earners pay 50% of the government bill. You can't tell me that a tax cut, a small tax cut, that doesn't actually change that number, the 50% mark, is a gift to them. You can't tell me that. If I'm walking into the restaurant and I'm paying half your bill, you should be grateful. Honestly.
I agree with that.
But here's the thing.
I would. I don't know the specific numbers, I will admit.
But here's the thing.
I'm not going to try and go at him.
Well, that's the problem, though. How can we say the rich aren't paying their fair share when you don't know what share they're paying? You have to start from
somewhere.
Because
we still live in a nation where 1% of the population controls 99% of the wealth.
But here's the thing. Income or wealth disparity is meaningless. It's a meaningless term because
gotta disagree with you there.
Hey, look, you know some of the places that have very flat income and wealth distributions? They're some of the poorest countries in the world because everybody is poor. The distribution between those two people is meaningless. Okay, let's talk about it this way. If you have a personal pan pizza and you get a quarter,
there we go.
a quarter of the personal pan pizza.
Now you're talking Andrew's language.
A quarter of a personal pan pizza is this big. You can put your fingers together and make it, right? Let's say you want a quarter of a large pizza. A quarter of a large pizza, you will probably not be able to finish. That's the difference is what we're talking about. Just because you have a quarter in both instances doesn't mean anything.
What do you mean by won't be able to finish it?
Oh, well, I don't know. Maybe you'd be able to eat
Andrew
a whole
quarter
of a
pizza. Andrew doesn't understand the concept of someone not finishing a pizza.
I'm not talking about pizza.
You lost him there.
I'm not talking about
pizza. Can I ask you a question? I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Trump had some of the most vicious negotiations with Mexico and Canada, right? I mean, that's his style, right? And the bottom line is he gets this thing passed, the MCU, Mexico, Canada, United States knew. There's not been anyone who's ever said that NAFTA was good, right, for the American worker, right? We have abandoned factories everywhere. And I always drive by, you know, down 44, and I always look over and I see where my uncle used to work. And he used to make, with all the benefits and everything, $75 an hour. Now, those jobs are gone, and that's just rubble over there. Think about that. I mean, where did you think those jobs went? They went to Mexico. So he tries to recreate a new trade agreement with NAFTA and Canada that's more fair to the American worker. And it's been sitting there for almost a year. Now, explain to me why that common sense doesn't get through. And I'm going to ask you another question, too, like Kate Steinle. Okay. Why isn't that Democrats won't pass that bill? All it simply says is if you've been deported for a felony crime, okay, and you come back in the United States, it's an automatic 5 years in prison. What is wrong with that? So you are a criminal, illegal immigrant in this country. You commit a felony crime, like, for example, murder in Kate Steinle's case, and we deport you. Then you come back in the country, you automatically go to jail. It's to say, hey, stay out of the United States because you're a criminal.
Why
can't we pass any of these things like MCU?
We weren't talking about immigration, but
no, I know. But I'm just
actually
asking
I'm actually farther to the right on immigration than most people.
Okay, but why don't want the Democrats pass anything that's even just common sense? But they're supposed to be for the worker. Why can't they Why can't they pull it to the floor, debate it, pass it, give it to the Senate? Can you explain that to me?
No, I'm not a Democratic.
Well, it's because it's impeachment. It's like now, we don't care about giving this guy anything, any credit for anything.
Now, why did those countries move over to Mexico in the first place?
Because they're greedy.
You mean the jobs?
But here's the one thing, Dave, I want to tell you. That
we moved those over to Mexico, and then we give them more tax cuts because there's this There is this misplaced belief in a sense of corporate benevolence, which is that if we cut taxes, which is a big conservative thing, if we cut taxes for the corporations, that will trickle down to the workers. That's not what happens. If we cut taxes to the corporations, they take that money and they put it in their pockets and they ship the jobs overseas.
So then you should love Donald Trump then. You should love Donald Trump because he's the guy who's saying, move your jobs back to the United States. There's 50 states you can go in and there's no tariffs whatsoever.
Yes, I do like that, but it hasn't worked.
It is working.
Hold on. Oh my gosh.
The factories are still rubble.
So many things. We currently have more open jobs than we have workers looking for them. It's a numbers game again. The result of having that disparity, you know, it's a supply and demand problem, is that workers' wages are going up. The average household wage has risen within just the 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency, $5,000 a year, as opposed to a comparative of the all eight of the Obama years of about $100.
Have you guys' wages gone up? Mine haven't gone up at all.
We're talking about average here, Andrew. Okay. So that includes people who had zero income, and now they're making $40,000 a year. So here's the thing. There are people who, prior to the Trump administration's changes, had nothing. They could not feed their children. They were on food stamps. All of a sudden, those people have jobs. They've got off food stamps. We have all the numbers that say that this is true. And there's still people like you who are saying Donald Trump has done nothing for workers, and I don't understand. It blows my freaking mind.
Yeah, I mean, there are numbers that even the Democrats agree with, like unemployment. And it's never been lower for African Americans, Hispanics, women. That's a good thing, right?
While labor participation is increasing, which is also unheard of. That means it's going faster than what that unemployment number is actually telling you.
See, here's my thing. I'm all about results. That, you know, we live on ratings and revenue. And so if you came to me and said, I have some ideas on how to increase ratings revenue, and I think your ideas are stupid, right? I agreed to try them. And in the year we tried them, or the 2 years we tried them, I'm number one, and we double our revenues. I can't argue with that. I may still find it difficult to do the show the way that you want me to, but I can't argue with the fact that we're number one in the ratings and our revenues have doubled. You win. And so when I look at the last 2 years of Donald Trump, for all of his weird ass Trumpiness and all of this stuff, his policies and ideas have worked. And that's why I don't understand, like with you and Nick and, you know, my liberal friends and family who I love, what you don't get about that or why you won't acknowledge that and say, yeah, I can't stand that guy, but I have to admit what he's doing is working.
I do think that unemployment numbers being down is a good thing. I agree with that.
But
very much
so. What's your beef though? Like, okay, let's say instead of Trump, it was Hillary Clinton. And we're right where we were right now with all of these. Wouldn't you be celebrating with your fellow Democrats and saying, I told you so?
I don't know. I didn't like Hillary to begin with.
Well, a human Hillary.
She's a bad example.
A human Hillary.
She's a bad example.
Hey, look, if Bernie got in and he got the results that we're seeing now, I'd be like, wow, I was wrong.
I would too. Yeah, and that's why I don't understand why you can hate Trump for who he is. I get it. But I think you make yourself look foolish when you disagree with his results. They're results. You can't disagree with the results. Quick break, right back, DGS. Welcome back, guys. DGS, the think tank. We have Larry Kushner, his first time on. We have Gabe. We have our very own Andrew. Larry just brought up an interesting point. I asked Gabe on the break if he thought Roger Stone was going to go down for lying to Congress. Steve Bannon's coming in to testify. When Steve Bannon's coming in to testify against you,
oh man.
Holy Lord.
Yikes.
But then Larry brought up an interesting point that if Trump does get reelected and he's never going to run again and he has the power of the pardon, I bet you see a couple dozen people go free, right?
Sure. They all do that, right? I mean, to a certain extent. Like, everybody.
Hundreds.
Isn't it
hundreds usually?
Yeah.
I mean, do it.
It's the pardon party. There's always a party where they just kind of get their stack and they just kind of go through them. Occasionally, the news will report on one or two that are interesting, but
right.
usually they fly under the radar.
I actually have an interesting question about this. What do you guys think about presidential pardons as a rule?
As a concept?
Yeah. It seems a little messed up. It always felt a little messed up to me. And I mean, you know, there's always been, you know, dozens if not hundreds of people pardoned by every president across and you know, it is how it is or whatever. But it just seems like a strange thing to me. It makes it kind of feel like there's no
one's above the law except for this
right.
one thing.
No one's above the law except doofy ass Roger Stone who's gonna go to prison and then just, you know, snap of a finger and he gets to come out even though he broke the law or whatever. It's like, well, shouldn't there be like some level of consequences for certain things?
You know what? I'll tell you something. Like, this is just an interesting observation. When Kim Kardashian goes to Donald Trump and asks for, and I can't remember what that lady's name was.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's African-American, by the way. And
oh, the sex worker who killed the...
No, she wasn't a sex worker. She was convicted for drug trafficking.
Drug trafficking.
Yeah. Okay.
And dealing Obama was asked to let her out of prison, and he didn't. And Donald Trump did. Of course, you know, like, he's still a racist. Okay, but why didn't Obama let her out of jail?
I don't know, because she was in jail for doing a crime? I don't know.
For drug trafficking, she gets a life sentence? I mean, that's ridiculous.
To answer your question, you know, executive pardon power has always struck me as a little weird, just in general. I understand it on some level that, you know, being the chief executive should come with some level of benefit on you know, vis-a-vis enforcing law, right? But... I don't know. That one always kind of bothered me too. Just to show a little solidarity with you there.
And it's like nobody's letting out, you know, Richard Ramirez the Night Stalker or whatever.
Sure.
But it just seems a little strange that you can, like, if you're like the president's buddy or if Kim Kardashian asks you nice enough, like, you know, you'll just let somebody out of prison.
I mean, the possibility for corruption is really big right there. And that's the one thing that bugs me about it is that, you know, because it's one thing to say, oh my gosh, this person got railroaded. You know, let me bust them out. And it's another to say, well, this is one of my political operatives who had problems doing X, Y, and Z for me, so I'm going to let them out later.
Right.
So,
I see a lot of stories about, you know, people who are essentially proven innocent, but yet still on death row.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if Roger Stone's going to get pardoned, but we're not going to pardon the innocent guy on death row.
So we don't know that Roger
Stone's
guilty of anything.
We don't.
Okay,
that's
another problem.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disrespect Roger Stone. Like
you're
that.
Guilty until proven innocent in a lot of cases, and that's what's going on if you don't have the same political view. And that is a fact. Amen. Roger Stone has not been convicted of anything, and he has the same presumption of innocence that anyone else has.
That's true. Tell him I'm sorry.
And I'm and you know, I'm looking forward to this movie that's coming out about the Jewel guy. You know, remember in Atlanta?
Richard Jewell.
Mm-hmm. And you know what people don't talk about either is he sued CNN, he sued NBC, he sued all these people, and he won a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
Okay, and they destroyed his life. Okay, and that just goes to show, like, is the media fake news? Well, I mean, this movie coming out is going to prove that it is. And we've also seen with the CBS thing and the NBC thing that, yes, if they're somehow aligned with these people. And, you know, here's the bigger story. Why isn't anybody talking about when she just said one word and she said, we had it all. And then at the very tail end, she says, Clinton, okay, that supposedly he flew to this island like 20 times and we want to elect this person president. Okay, are you kidding me?
Well, now, if you want to talk Epstein, we can't leave Trump out of that one.
Trump didn't go to the island.
We don't know what Trump did.
Okay, but we're supposedly, Clinton's gone 19 times, and CNN can't talk about that. They only want to talk about impeachment, 24 hours a day.
I will guarantee you, diddly, you know, yes. See, I'm doing that one.
Yes, you are.
That if Trump was at all implicated in any of what you know, her reporting
about it,
we would be hearing about it.
Of course. And I'm not suggesting that he is. I don't think that Trump is a pedophile. I don't think Trump is going to. Now, Clinton, we can talk all day about that. That's probably
I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Okay. Do you think it's fair or reasonable to say that the media, 90% of it, protects liberal politicians? Or Democrats?
No, I don't think
you don't think that's true.
I've never felt like the media has that strong of a liberal bias, but maybe that's just because I watch more Fox than anything else.
Well, that's good
by nature of my job.
Yeah.
And CNN is bad.
Dave, I wanted to tell you something because you know, I love St. Louis. You know, I was born in St. Louis. I want to see St. Louis do well. I'm happy with like the MLS. I'm not a soccer fan, but I'm ecstatic for the people who are. I think that was a great thing that's going to happen. I actually helped bring a trade show to St. Louis, which is now the St. Louis's number one trade show. It's the Halloween trade show, and it supposedly brings in $7 million in revenue, and it helps all the businesses on Washington Street and everything else.
Cool.
So I do these haunt tours, you know, for those people, and I met these people from Spain, okay? And we just, like, talked all night long after my haunt was closed, you know, for those people. And they told me, okay, they said, you know, Larry, you know, they have a haunted house in Spain. We would love to buy more products from, you know, almost all the products made for haunted houses made in the United States. But, you know, we have a 40% import tax from the United States, 40%. So they would buy more, but there's a 40%. That's protectionism, you know, and these people would buy more, but there's a tax. So Donald Trump points out how European countries take advantage of the United States, meaning they can export stuff to us for virtually nothing, and then they want to have 40% tax. And then Donald Trump gets accused of attacking his allies, okay? So we have a case here that I know firsthand about, 40%, and they would buy more if it wasn't 40%. So let me ask you a question, because Donald Trump is always talking about this as well.
Okay.
If Spain charges 40%, shouldn't we charge them 40%? Does that sound fair to you?
Sure.
Okay, then why does he always get beat up and say, hey, he's attacking his allies?
I don't know. I don't know anything but about Spain.
Do you think the European Union is treating the United States fair? Is China treating the United States fair? Is Canada treating the United States fair when you can't import like dairy products without like a 50% tariff or whatever it is?
I really don't know anything about imports from the European Union.
I
really don't.
It's funny, like listening to Larry talk, I spend so much time, because I'm on this station, being defensive about not being a Trumpster and everyone attacking me because I don't think everything he does is genius. But you bring up a lot of good points. That going back to the start of the show when you said the Democrats missed a real opportunity, I agree with you. I hadn't really thought of that in a long time, but Trump came in to the Oval Office, I think, ready to deal. He just wanted a deal. And I think he wanted a deal. I think he cares about the country, but I think he wanted to truly go down as the greatest president ever. I think he wanted people to look back on him in history and say, this guy changed the whole course of the country. I think he would have worked with Democrats, but I also think he's a giant baby man, and and he reacts to
one thing. Do you like him or do you not like him? Are you nice to him or are you not nice to him? They're treating me nasty, you know? But that's really true. That had the Democrats from the beginning taken a deep breath and tried to deal, I don't think we would be here. I think our country would be so much better off. You can't just blame them. He's had his temper tantrums and stuff. But that's really true. It's really kind of sad because they had an opportunity that they wouldn't have had with Jeb Bush Marco Rubio. Yeah. I don't think Trump has a core other than results.
Well, one of the major fears that a lot of Republicans had was that he was coming from such a liberal background that he would govern a little more liberal than we would have liked from
a Republican president. That's one of the reasons that he has such great results is because he doesn't have a real biased core one way or the other politically. He just wants to get stuff done. Quick break, right back, DGS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.